The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
What do you get when you cross a ninja with a squid? Disappearing ink.
If you just read the bio for Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve! No.
From the world-famous Curtiff Electric Network Studios in non-COVID, non-influenza central, it's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Tacy. Hello, Tacy, back from sabbatical. How are you?
Hello, everyone.
This is a show for people who never listened to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you have a question you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347. Ugh, she still won't say it. Poohhead.
I thought about it.
It's too infantile for you, isn't it?
I'm too good for
it. It's amazing. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine at Weird Medicine. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcast medical news and stuff you can buy. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take anything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. You'd think after 17 years of doing this, I could do that a little bit better. But I'm a little distracted because you look quite lovely today.
Oh, stop.
Oh, you do.
Well, thank you.
Quite lovely.
Feel like crap.
Yeah, so we have non-COVID, non-influenzal, COVID-like illness.
Yes.
And, of course, when I got sick, I thought it was allergies, and I thought it was allergies when I had COVID. So I went, oh, shit, maybe it's COVID again. And I went and got tested, and they tested me for influenza A, influenza B, respiratory syncytial virus, and COVID-19, all negative. And then you started getting sick, so I knew it was communicable.
Yep.
And I don't feel bad. I just, you know, nose, it's a very upper respiratory. And it must be very contagious because I am washing my hands. I'm PPEing up at work. And
who'd you give it to?
I gave it to you.
Oh, yes. Other than that.
No. I don't know, but I'm just saying. I'm taking all these precautions not to get COVID-19, and of course I did still get it, but I know why I got it. But you know, so this must be really communicable, and so a lot of the common colds are extremely communicable. We don't trace them.
Nope.
You know, so what we're hoping is this asshole virus will get to the point where we're no longer tracing it either. Now, I've talked about this on the show multiple times. A significant fraction of common colds are coronaviruses. And when those coronaviruses were new, they probably caused a global pandemic back then, too. And they tend to affect older people who have not been exposed to them worse. So that's why kids don't get it. Then they grow up, and then it's just a cold to them. Just like when you had respiratory syncytial virus, it was just a cold to you, but it almost killed our kid, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's sort of the opposite. But when these things first came out, I think probably that was the case. But 10,000 years ago, who would notice a coronavirus pandemic when you're dealing with the plague of Justinian and, you know, cholera and diphtheria and stuff like that? I mean, it must have been hell to live.
Yeah, exactly.
You just lived in fear constantly of invisible things that could just kill you.
Kill you at any time.
We were watching, what show was that?
1883.
And people were drinking water out of the river, not realizing that, you know, people upstream were had cholera and were shitting in the river. And, you know, it must have been terrifying. You couldn't even drink water without worrying whether you're going to die or not. Just imagine trying to have a baby back then.
And bandits.
And then you get them bandits,
bandits
too.
Bandits everywhere.
You better watch out, them bandits are coming.
It's a good show.
It is a good, it's a really good show.
With a really good Tennessee accent?
I'm usually
Can
not
I say
a big,
that?
Absolutely. I'm not a big frontier type person for TV shows, but this is a good one. And yeah, well, Faith Hill, I think she's from Tennessee, right? We should probably look that up. Echo, where's Faith Hale from?
Mike Hale is from Dallas, Texas.
Mike Hale, it's not what I was asking. Okay. Faith Hill. Audrey Faith Hill McGraw is American. Okay, of course. And where was she born? Let's just get to that part.
Does she live now? I'm sure she lives in Nashville now.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Anyway, we'll try not to cough on you.
No, she was born in Ridgeland, Mississippi. Okay, well, anyway, but her Southern accent is authentic, mm-hmm. and Tim McGraw's is pretty authentic. So it's not those sort of phony, baloney Southern accents that you get when you watch some of these shows.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah, but we were very impressed with the fact that their accents sound right. But anyway.
Just like our neighbors.
That's right.
That's right.
So what were you going to say? What were you?
I was just going to say we're going to try not to cough on people too much.
Yes, because, of course, that's an issue that you could catch it from us.
No, I'm sure they just don't want to hear it.
Well,
smartass.
So my, thank you.
You're welcome.
My point about how communicable this is this Omicron supposed to be insanely communicable. If you remember, the original COVID-19, one person in an idealized population would infect about 2.4 people. That's called the R-naught, or the, well, just the, you know, its transmissibility. there's several other numbers, but it's we represent it as R sub zero. And then Delta came along, and it was between 5 and 7. They're saying Omicron is 12. Measles is, or no, I'm sorry, Omicron is 10. Measles is around 12. So whatever I got was certainly more communicable than original COVID, probably more communicable than Delta because it took a real special circumstance for me to get it.
We could have got it the night that we watched, and just like that.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
So we had sort of
a party like it was the last night of college exams and everybody was going home.
That is true.
After graduation.
Everybody was kissing each other and all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, so we could have gotten it
then. Don't make it sound worse than it was. But it was insane.
No, it was awesome.
It was ridiculous.
Girl on girl action.
No, stop.
No, it was awesome. There's nothing wrong with that.
It wasn't like that.
And then we went to And then we went to a basketball game in the middle of a global pandemic where, you know, there was a lot of yelling and shouting and stuff. So you can get it from those kinds of things. My friend Dan, who I won't say what business he's in and don't say it, but he...
I don't know who you're talking about.
...is responsible for a large group of people in the Atlanta area, and they had a Christmas party.
Still
and about
don't
10,
know.
10 of those people got it at their Christmas party. So anyway, it's still around. We will know in about 2 weeks whether the stories about Omicron are true in that it is less virulent or less deadly. So the numbers are going to spike. Cases are not the issue. The issue are hospitalizations and death. And it's not even the absolute numbers. It's the relative numbers. So I was talking to Dave, our buddy Dave Landau today, and he said, I don't know what to believe because I hear different things. I said, well, here's why. If you want to say that the sky is falling, then you will quote the absolute number of cases. Well, we've had 100,000 cases a day, 200,000 cases a day. We're breaking records on cases. If you want to say this isn't that big of a deal, you will quote the relative numbers of people who are going to the hospital and dying, which at the worst of this was 5% hospitalizations, about 1% people dying. So you'll say, well, but it's only, you know, 5% of people, 95% of people do fine. So it all depends on your bias going into this. If you're a sky is falling person, you will quote the absolute numbers. If you're a this isn't such a big deal, then you will quote the relative risk numbers. And you really need to know both. Because here's why. If we get a huge spike from this Omicron, there will be more people going to the hospital. That doesn't mean it's more deadly or more prone to severe disease. It just means that the numbers are huge. So if you have, for example, 1,000 people and you have a virus that has 10% of people will end up in the hospital, well, you'll have 100 people in the hospital, right? But if you have another virus that has 10,000 people but is only 1%, you know, you will have another, well, that'll be 100 people again, right? And you'll look, oh, it's the same. It's not the same. It's 1% of people compared to 10% of people. And then if that same 1% becomes 100,000, well, now you've got 1,000 people in the hospital. It looks like, oh, gosh, we've got this huge spike in hospitalizations. But the relative numbers are still 1% compared to 10%. Does that make sense?
Not really.
No?
But I heard a new theory this morning.
Okay.
And this new theory is a friend of ours has a friend of ours.
Okay.
A friend of ours has a friend of hers who believes that doesn't believe in vaccinations, but does believe...
She doesn't believe they exist?
No, doesn't believe in getting them, but
okay.
Does believe
well, then she's,
that keeping you know. Your gums clean and using Listerine...
Come on.
...will keep you away from getting it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Oh, wow, that is very interesting. Please tell me more.
Can you, like, shut up?
Well, that's because you're an idiot.
Well, okay, anyway. All right. Yeah, that's I would like to see her double-blind placebo-controlled trial data on that.
Yeah. I'm like, why not just the science? She goes, I don't know. So that was the end of that.
Well, you could do science on that. Listen, if someone had that hypothesis, you would do, we could do a study. You take 1,000 people, you give them Listerine and whatever gum thing, you know, a water pick that you want to do. And you take 1,000 other people and you match them. Okay, the same number of, let's do it all unvaccinated. That makes it easy. And see if there's a difference between the two. If there is a statistically significant difference in the Listerine group versus the placebo group. And it's hard to do a placebo with Listerine, but you could do it. Then you can say, yeah, this actually has a net positive effect or a net negative effect. Maybe it makes people worse. But it, the most likely thing is it will be within statistical within the statistical error on both sides, and there will be no effect whatsoever. But you could do science on that.
Yes. On a separate note, I used the water pick today.
Oh, yes.
And it worked.
Oh, good, good,
yes,
good, good, good.
Yes, I used it the way you told me.
So some people know that I got Invisalign because I'm planning on doing some TV after I retire. Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll do that one. Oops, well, shit. And I don't want to have this snaggletooth in the front. It drives me crazy when I'm doing cameos for people. By the way, check out our Cameo. Just search for Weird Medicine on Cameo. They're cheap. After the first of the year, I'm going to go up. So if you want a cheap howdy-do and a fluids and secretions, my tagline is, I hope you have a year filled with fluids and secretions, but only those not tainted by chlamydia and gonorrhea. So
is that
a good tagline? Okay. All right. So, and then check out our Patreon. Basically, our Patreon is what Tacy and I are doing now. But we are doing relatively short shows, but they're filled with phone calls and stuff. So
and
no ads.
Content.
Yes, and hilarious content.
Yeah. No,
classic
I mean, if
content.
You believe that.
Classic content. I found a show the other day that I was playing before we went live with the video feed, and I was listening to it. I said, this is actually pretty good. It was like number 20, and so it was different back then. We were a little bit more raucous, so we're putting some of that up that can't be found anywhere else, and we're going to have some celebrity guests and some other stuff like that. So, all right?
Okay.
Okay. You want to answer some questions?
Let's answer questions.
Number one thing. Don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
Nope.
Thank you, Ronnie B.
Especially these two.
All right.
Hi, Dr. Steve.
Amen.
It's John from Chicago.
Hey, John.
Hi, Dr. Scott. Tacy, if you're there. Basie's Besmoach. Fuck that up. Anyway, how you guys doing? Hope you're great.
Thanks, man.
Here's a random wise tale that I got told when I was a kid. I've since not doing this anymore, but I was told by a certain family member when I would be sick, you know, sometimes when you're sick, you got all that bile in your throat, and I would spit it out, and they would say, don't do that. You know, it's bad for you to do it. You got to swallow it.
I wonder if the old wife he was talking to was Myrtle.
Well, all that bile, you got to swallow it because the devil will come up and get you a haint in your house, don't you know?
I don't know if that's true, but...
Give your body the ability to, I don't know, like take it in and put it in your stomach and, you know, and as I've gotten some years on me, I'm like, yeah, that's stupid.
Yeah, but sounds disgusting.
I guess since that's kind of in the medical
Give
realm, is there any,
a
I don't know, basis for that?
Nope.
Or is it more, if you're sick and you got bile in your throat, spit it up, cough it out, get it out.
Well, when he says bile, I wonder if he's really talking about bile, because
or just snot.
Bile is fluid that comes from the bile duct, which is created in the bile ducts, the cannulae in the liver, and it collects in the gallbladder, and then when the body needs it, because bile salts help in the digestion of fats. When the body needs it, the gallbladder contracts, and then you get bile. So you shouldn't really have it in your throat unless you're having emesis or vomiting. And persistent vomiting, you can get bile reflux into the stomach, and then you can puke up bile, and it's usually seen as a yellowish-green green fluid. And by the way, if you eat certain foods that have certain blue food colorings in them, those food colorings don't change in the stool and through digestion, and the blue in the food coloring with the yellow in the bile will make these beautiful emerald green stools. So if you ever have the most beautiful deep green emerald colored stools, it's probably because you ate blueberry or something like that.
Or if you buy your kid a birthday cake with blue icing.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Scares you to death.
Yep. Well, I remember the first time Liam had one of those, I had fed him some kind of blue kids yogurt. And then, you know, I'm changing his diaper, and then this is amazing. It's amazing. It was a gorgeous shade of green, except it was a turd, you know, so gorgeous and turd usually doesn't.
Our kid's poop is pretty. I'm sorry, I popped my pee.
Yeah, that you did. Thank you.
How do you, like, you know, there's no point in being in there. Anyway, curious if my family member is a dullard, and or if there's maybe some validity to it.
No, they're not a dullard. They just made something up. And they just didn't want to see you spitting up bile is what it is, so they came up with that excuse. Because, you know, you have some kid. The kids are all snotty and gross and gooey, and then you got this kid spitting up bile. Well, yeah, just tell them to swallow it. They're just trying to keep you... keep your behavior under control, that's all. Anyway, yeah, there really no physiologic reason for that. If your body's trying to expel it, that's doing it for a reason, it's totally okay.
Probably trying to keep themselves from getting sick.
Well, that's true. They're like
throwing up from it. Yeah.
That kid's spitting a bile over there.
That's disgusting.
All right.
Hi, Dr. Steve. Hey.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, Dr. Scott.
Hello.
Hi, Casey.
Hi,
everybody. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Excellent.
This is John from Chicago. I've called before. Love the show. Question about just general about rejection when it comes to organ transplants, things like that. So why, just in general, is it that the body can receive foreign things like blood and plasma and not reject that, and yet it takes another kidney, even if the body needs it, and it says, no, I don't want this. Why is that going on? Or is there a minor amount of rejection going on even with blood, but it's just different? I don't know. Just could you help explain that whole thing?
Sure, absolutely.
That's
a
great question.
It is a great question. I'll give him one of those. Yeah. So there is a form of rejection when you do blood transplants. That's why we have to match people's blood to the donor. Tacy, what's your blood type?
I don't know.
Oh. Okay. Well, if you had someone that was type A and you tried to give them type B blood, it would coagulate in their bloodstream. And Tacy is O negative, and I'm O positive.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And therefore, if she hadn't gotten Rogam after we had our first baby, who was Rh positive, she would have rejected all of the other babies that she had. She would have made antibodies against their blood proteins. And that's what happened to Anne Boleyn. That is why Anne Boleyn lost her head. Is she had Queen Elizabeth. And then every other kid after that died of what they call high drops. And that was just a baby whose mother had rejected it through their immune system. And so if she had not been Rh negative, we never would have heard of the six wives of Henry VIII. You know, they would have, because he loved her. And if she had been able to give him a male heir, he would have stayed with her.
According to Tudors, he really did love her.
Yeah, yeah, right. And we get all of our information from TV dramas.
But, exactly.
But, you know, history indicates that he loved her as well. So, but she was Rh negative, he was Rh positive, she had the first baby's fine. And then when that blood mixes during delivery, that's when the mother gets sensitized to those Rh positive proteins, and then the next thing you know, they will have another Rh positive baby inside their Rh negative body, and they'll reject it. So, but if you'll match those proteins on blood, you don't have that. And there's more to it. There's different antigens and stuff that the blood banks will tell you. They've got to match lots of different things, but that's the basics of it. And those are pretty simple. The difference with organs is that the body is always looking for foreign bodies to kill. So if you get a foreign virus or any kind of foreign invader, the body's going to try to kill it if it can. And it has to recognize it as foreign. And so when you put a foreign heart into someone's body, there are these sugar proteins called HLA antigens, and those everyone's are mostly different. You can get people to match up, but mine are different than yours. They're not quite as dense information-wise as, say, fingerprints are. But the body's immune cells are always looking around saying, oh, this one's fine, this is us. It's like friend or foe. And they're constantly surveying those HLA indicators on the surface of these cells going, friend, 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 you're okay, you're okay, you're okay. Wait, who the hell are you? And they don't even ask questions. They just attack. And so you have to suppress those cells in someone, unless you have your identical twin donate a heart to you. It's very difficult to find a perfectly matching donor. So they'll have to give you medication to suppress those cells from attacking foreign antigens. Now, when it comes to cancer, it's the same sort of issue, as those cells are always looking for foreign cells to kill. And they're going, friend, friend, friend. And a cancer that's successful in growing is one that will express those friend antigens on its surface. So the T cells that are monitoring for that will just pass them right by. And that's why cancer can grow. And so what we're trying to learn how to do is to teach the T cells to kill only the cancer cells and leave everything else alone. So ultimately, cancer therapy is going to be an immunologic problem. It's not going to be a chemotherapeutic problem. We will use immunology to cure cancer in the future.
That's cool.
Does that make sense? I explain that in a way that makes sense.
Mm.
God damn it. Because you're my audience, you know? All right.
Yeah, but you talk a lot.
Hey, Dr. Steve, and also Dr. Scott, this is a question for you, too. I had COVID in July of 2020. I got a fever about 9 days. Took me about 2 weeks to feel back to normal. But during that time period, I also lost my sense of smell and taste. Hmm. Now, it gradually came back. However, there are certain things that have been affected 100% differently since then. Wine and oranges and citrus stuff don't taste the same to me. They don't taste as good to me any longer. I was a bit of a wine snob type of person, and no longer. It all tastes kind of mediocre to me now.
Interesting.
The smell of feces or human waste of any kind doesn't smell as bad as it used to. However...
Well, wait, why are you complaining about that? I mean, if I could have a virus and it made all shit smell like flowers, I would think that was a net plus.
And now I can drink cheap wine.
Yeah, that's right, because it doesn't make any difference.
Like raw onions and raw garlic to me now. I'm Italian and I've always loved cooking with garlic.
Yeah.
And now the smell of it is not pleasant to me anymore.
Oh, wow.
I haven't really heard anybody else talking about this. And I was wondering if you had any insight, or if Dr. Scott perhaps has any ideas of some Eastern medicine
herbs
that I could potentially do to
astragalus. That'll be Dr. Scott's answer.
Help the situation, because I don't like it.
Okay. Well, one thing you could consider: emailing Dr. Scott. Go to simplyherbals.net and see if he has any of his nasal spray left. It had a nasal anti-inflammatory in it, which is basically peppermint oil. And I'm not going to say that it will help, but hell, you know, what else has helped? And it may not hurt anything to re-stimulate those olfactory cells with a little peppermint oil anyway. And because what you have is called parosmia. Now, there's anosmia. That's a complete loss of smell. So an being the Greek from the Sanskrit, not, and then osmia, meaning smelling, or, you know, os is related to sense of smell. So anosmia would be inability to smell anything. And then there's parosmia, which, points to a distortion in your sense of smell. Then there is phantosmia. Can you think of what that would be, Tace?
Nope.
Oh, you could. Just think. Phantosmia. The phantom.
I haven't been listening.
The phantom smell. See.
Oh, okay.
Olfactory hallucinations.
Okay.
Those are also associated with COVID-19, and it may be due to actual viral damage to the olfactory nerves themselves. There are a cluster of nerves in the top of the nose near this thing called the ethmoid plate, and they hang down. And they're very complicated chemical sensors. And depending on how stimulate them, you'll perceive that as different smells. And remember, everything that you perceive in this world, well, this is going to sound circular, but it's just perception. Everything that you smell is a creation inside your brain. So if you change the way that the nerves act and send signals to the brain, it's going to change how you perceive smell. And when I had COVID, I used nasal steroids, a.k.a. Flonase, and I used it from day one. And I never had any.
So you think that helped?
I'm an N of one in this clinical study, but I've looked at some other clinical studies that said that they thought that it helped as well. I had no loss of smell, no parosmia, no anosmia, nothing. So I'm counseling people that when they get COVID-19 to start using the Flonase and see if that helps prevent that, because it is irritating. This guy was a wine connoisseur, maybe a sommelier, maybe a master sommelier. Now it's taken that enjoyment away from him. As you said, you're more practical. Yeah, now you can just drink shit wine and you won't be able to tell the difference.
But the garlic thing and being Italian and liking that sucks.
Sure. The whole thing sucks.
Yeah.
Now, will it come back? It may come back. It may take 12 months.
And, well, he had it in like June or July of 20.
Oh, is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oof. Well, I'm looking at some data here. It said 90 to 96% of patients, depending on the study, will experience at least some recovery of function within 30 days. They plateau over time, with some studies reporting small gains out to 12 months. Now, it's just not COVID-19 that does this. There's non-COVID-19 post-viral smell loss, and the number of people who recover estimated to be about 60 to 65% in those. And patients with COVID-19-related smell loss, about 35% don't recover in 3 weeks. So if you look at all of that, maybe 60 to 70% will recover. They don't know what degree they'll recover. This is still too new. We just don't know. But a couple of the studies that I looked at did seem to affirm that using nasal steroids early in the course of the illness may help prevent this. So I'm just recommending that because I don't think that there's any harm it will do to anybody.
Okay.
All right.
I would certainly try it.
Yeah. So sorry, man. That's a tough one. And I guess, I mean, it's easy for me to say, well, just be glad you didn't lose everything. But sometimes losing part of something is worse than losing all of it. Although I have lost my sense of smell before. I had a viral illness where I completely lost all smell and all taste. And it sucked because you couldn't tell if something was rotten. And that was what I was thinking about the whole time. I can't tell if this sandwich is rotten. I can't tell if anything I eat is actually good. And I think that part of the reason that we evolved a sense of taste is so that we could tell when things are bad for us or they're rotten. I couldn't do that. And it was very disconcerting. Anyway, all right. Let's take one more and we'll get out of here.
Hey, Dr. Steve and Dr. Scott. This is Mike in Pennsylvania. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So is long COVID bullshit? It just seems like any news of variants possibly being more mild and not as big of a deal to get. All the so-called experts say, yeah, but we still don't know about long COVID yet. Is this just a scare tactic so we don't let our guard down, or is there any actual data? Data, not just complaints from hypochondriacs on the internet who have made it their new identity to be COVID long haulers or whatever.
Right.
And if it's not bullshit, then what's unique about COVID to cause this, or are we just ignoring tons of long-term health effects of other viruses people have had and recovered from? So, like, every ailment, the manifestation of some virus we had a long, long time ago. Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too, man. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
There is some data. I'm looking at PLOS Medicine. This is an open access journal. What's a decent one? It's open access. It's peer reviewed. This is incidence, co-occurrence, and evolution of long COVID features. A six-month retrospective cohort study of 273,000 survivors of COVID-19. And so they did a retrospective cohort study. This is not great data. This is just where you take their chart. After it's all done, you go back and try to mine it for data. And they looked at 81 million patients, including 273,000 COVID-19 survivors. And they looked at 9 core features of long COVID, which would be breathing difficulties, breathlessness, fatigue, malaise, chest or throat pain, headache, abdominal symptoms, myalgias or other pain, or cognitive symptoms. In other words, post-COVID foggy brain syndrome, not a real syndrome.
Which you had that.
I did have that, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I still do have it. I'm not as sharp as I was on this show, particularly I can tell a little bit. Some people may be able to tell a lot. Anxiety and depression as well. So the co-occurrence network was also analyzed. They compared it with some other stuff. And what they found was 57% had one or more long COVID feature. Well, that tells me if more than half of people had something like that, that that's just normal, right? And 36% had symptoms between 3 and 6 months, and the incidence of each feature was abnormal breathing. That's about 18%. Fatigue, malaise, 12%. Chest or throat pain, 12%. Headache, 8%. Abdominal symptoms, 15%. Myalgias, that's muscle aches and pains, 3%. Cognitive symptoms, 8%. Anxiety and depression, 23%. Now, can you say that that was due to the virus or the virus? You know, was it your infection or was it just that we're dealing with this shit?
Maybe.
I'd be surprised it's only 22%. I mean, seriously, don't you think that the incidence of depression in the general population after 2 years of this crap is greater than 22%? Wouldn't you think?
I would.
Okay, so maybe COVID is protective.
It's
maybe
ridiculous.
Maybe it cures people's depression because 22% seems pretty low to me. So all of these features were more frequently reported after COVID-19 than after influenza. But you do get them after influenza. And the hazard ratio is like 1.4%, so it's a 40% more chance of having long-haul symptoms with COVID than with influenza. That's basically what that means. So, yeah. Now, so it's been described, and there is some data. It has not been well categorized, nor has it been well doped out, in my opinion, because we don't. For a while there, they were saying, yeah, if you get a COVID vaccine after you've had it, it makes your long COVID symptoms better, and there's some evidence that that's the case. But I haven't seen anything wonderfully conclusive on that either. So it's not bullshit. There's something there, but it's not just associated with COVID-19 either. Almost nothing about this virus is only associated with it. It's just that it sucks more than it does for other things.
Agreed.
You know, loss of taste, I've had that. I had that 20 years before COVID. But thankfully I recovered. Fogginess, not solely associated with COVID-19. All these long COVID symptoms also associated with influenza. Things like Guillain-Barré that are associated with influenza vaccine are also associated with influenza. The thing that causes influenza or causes Guillain-Barré, which is ascending neuritis, that's when people get weak in their feet, then their knees, then their hips, then if it ascends up into their chest, they have difficulty breathing, some of them end up on the ventilator, can be caused by vaccines, absolutely, but can also be caused by the viruses that the vaccine is trying to prevent. So it's basically the body's immune response to those things that causes the Guillain-Barré, and it's just host dependent. In other words, it just some people it'll happen to them and other people not. Fortunately, it's a vast minority of people. Anyway, so what do you want to talk about? I'm sick of this shit.
How
was it that we every damn thing was COVID. Well, no, it wasn't. Two things were COVID related. That's not so bad.
One thing was poop related.
Yep, I like the poop related stuff. Two things.
Yeah.
What was the other poop
related
thing?
The guy's poop didn't smell as bad.
Oh, true. Okay,
and
right,
then
right. Peripherally.
Pretty green, emerald green. Poop.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. You have anything you want to talk about?
No.
Are you going to, am I going to get lucky tonight because we're both drinking?
If you don't mind getting coughed on, maybe.
Oh, I don't care about that. Guys don't care about that.
That's disgusting.
But if you mean the correct answer is if by lucky you mean me ordering you a pizza, then yes. All right. Well, listen, thanks, Tace, for being here. And catch us over on the Patreon side. It's really fun over there. It's patreon.com/weirdmedicine. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Horror Taste,
ooh,
the Saratoga Skank, and the Florida Floozy. Can you believe that Holly called me and said, well, now who's the Florida Floozy? It's like you idiot. She's also the Port Charlotte Whore and the Saratoga Skank. Roland Campos, sister of Chris, Sam Robert, she who owns Pigs and Snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Matt Kleinschmidt, Dale Dudley, Holly from the Gulf, Christopher Walken's double, a.k.a. Steve Tucci, the great Rob Bartlett, Vic's Nether Fluids, Cardiff Electric, Casey's Wet T-Shirt, Carl's Deviated Septum, the inimitable Vincent Paulino, everyone. Eric Zane, Bernie and Sid, Martha's from Arkansas's daughter, Ron Bennington, and of course our dear departed friend Frez Watley, who supported this show, has never gone unappreciated. Remember GVAC. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules, podcasts, and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week
for
the next edition of Weird Medicine. Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you, Tace.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.